We're doing a little series where we're calling it, you know, every seat has a story, or every seat is a story. And we're really focusing on that, all the people who have come before you, who have sit in those particular seats, hopefully, you know, God has spoken to their heart and they've become a part of his story. But there's many people after us that God is actually inviting in to be a part of his grander story. And we want to be a church that participates in helping everybody become a part of his master story. Come on, somebody. And so we as a church are investing in what God is doing in and through the world through the local church. And we're inviting people to be a great part of that. If you have your Bibles with you today, I'm going to invite you to open it up to a story that Jesus told, a story that he told about what really matters as you're preparing your life here on earth for what is next. And that story is found in Matthew chapter 25. And we're going to look at that story today. But before we get there, I want to read to you what Paul wrote to the church at Philippi early on in the book of Philippians in our Bible. And he says this to the church, the believers there. He says, I am certain that God, who began, everybody say began. Yes. How many of you know God wants to begin something in everybody's life? He says, I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue. Everybody say continue. Yes. How many of you know that God doesn't only want to start something, but he wants to continue what he started? Come on. He wants to continue his work until it is finally finished. How many of you know that God wants to also finish what he started? Come on. And it says it'll be finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Now that's a beautiful statement, because what it says is God is intimately involved in our life and he's working something. He's starting something, he's continuing something, and he's finishing something if we'll just get on board with what God's doing. And the Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. Everybody say faith. Faith. In other words, faith in who God is and what he's doing. God wants us to trust him. The enemy wants us to not trust God. And so in this world, there's a lot of distractions. There's a lot of things that begin to get us depressed and think that, you know what, life just doesn't have hope and life doesn't have meaning. Things come against us, things come against our neighbors, things come against our families. But God says, here's the deal. Though things come against you, I'm still for you. And if you would get on board with what I'm doing, come on somebody, I'll work something out. I'm working to good for all of those who love me. I'm working these things to good for people who want to fulfill my purpose. And God is in the business of working, you know what, himself into us as we operate by faith. I want us to know today that God doesn't only want us to start a life of faith, but he wants to work that life of faith, and he wants us to finish that life of faith. The writer who wrote Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul, the same one who said this to the church at Philippi, he says this. He says, at the end of his life, he says, I have fought the good fight. What is the good fight? See, that's a great question to ask. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have fought the good fight. He says, I have finished the race and I have remained faithful. See, he fought the good fight of faith. He fought the good fight of faith, not letting the enemy destroy his faith, but he let God work his faith. And as God worked his faith, he became stronger and stronger in his faith. And not only did he start the journey, but he was able to finish the journey and finish it well. And I want you to know today, no matter what age, what stage, how old you are, how sick you are, how young you are, how able you are, God is at work and he wants to do something amazing in your life. He wants to start new things and he wants to build you up in your faith. But you have to understand there is a real battle going on, and it's a spiritual battle. It's a battle that wants to keep you dead spiritually. It's a battle where the enemy wants you to stay in the trespasses of humanity's sin, and he wants you to stay trapped in that place and not believe that there's greater things in front of you. But Jesus came with great love. He came with all power. He died on a cross to forgive us of our sins so we don't have to stay trapped in that mindset. Come on, somebody. He came to forgive us of our sins so we could come out of that and we could become new in Christ Jesus and begin the journey towards what God wants to do in our life and through our life. And God's inviting everyone into his grander story. And the question is, will your story be like the Apostles Paul's story? And at the end of your life, will you be able to say, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. And I have remained faithful. Today, I want to talk a little bit about how to remain faithful. Because, you see, that's what we are to do. We're not just to come to know who Jesus is and the forgiveness of his sin and camp out and just kind of hang out until we get to heaven one day. No, eternal life begins now. The day you make a decision to say, hey, Jesus, I believe that you died on a cross to forgive me of my sin. I want to step into a right relationship with God. And as I step into that right relationship with God, God says he sends the Holy Spirit. And the job of the Holy Spirit is to help us remain faithful. He's a comforter. He's a teacher. And he begins to give us gifts so we can remain faithful on the journey. Jesus came to forgive us of our sin. He was God in the flesh, but he sent an advocate for us so that advocate could coach us on the journey and help us to remain faithful. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We are people who operate by faith in this God. Come on, somebody. So let's talk about that a little bit today. Some of Jesus' followers were asking Jesus, when would the end of the world be? Now, a lot of us think it's coming really soon because we're seeing all kinds of, you know, catastrophes and things and balloons and, you know, all of these variations of things. And a lot of people are sort of kind of like living in shakenness and fear, but God wants us to remain faithful whether it comes today, tomorrow, 10 years from now, or 100 years from now. And some people were asking Jesus about when he would set up his eternal kingdom. And Jesus basically told them, we don't know the hour nor the day. And what you need to basically do is stop worrying about when that day will be. But what you need to do is develop your faith and remain faithful on the journey, because when it happens, it's going to be amazing. Come on, somebody. And then Jesus begins to tell some stories. And those stories are really all about stay ready and remain faithful. And this particular story is found in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. And this is what Jesus says against that question. In other words, the backdrop of that question is found in 24. The backdrop to the story in Matthew 25 is found in 24, where people ask that question to Jesus, when will the end of the world happen? And Jesus tells this story. A few stories, but this is one of them he told. He says, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by a story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and he entrusted his money to them. And while he was gone, he gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last. Dividing it into portion according to their abilities, he left on a trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver the servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and he earned 5 more. The servant with the 2 bags of silver also went to work and he earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and he hid the master's money. After a long time, the story says, the master returned. The master returned from his trip and he called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more. And he said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest and I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. He goes on to say this. The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and he said, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest and I've earned 2 more. The master said, Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Then the servant, Jesus says, with the 1 bag of silver, said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. And look, here's your money back. But the master replied, You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant, and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. Then he ordered, take the money from this servant and give it to the one who has 10 bags of silver. To those who use well, everybody say well. Well. To those who use well are given even more, will be given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But for those who do nothing, everybody say nothing, nothing. Even little of what they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant out into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want to talk to you for the next few minutes about remaining faithful with what God has entrusted to you and the new life he has given you in Christ Jesus. And my friend, I want to say to you today, if you've never begun the journey of faith by putting your faith in Jesus and been made new in Christ Jesus, that is readily available for everyone sitting in this room at this very moment. Come on. And Jesus can step into your life the moment you put your faith that he is who he says that he is. In other words, if you believe in your heart, if we've been teaching a little bit about that, but if you sit down and you believe in what Christ Jesus did on a cross for you, when you sit down in that and you believe that, the Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. Whoever believes in him shall not waste away, shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's when that new life begins. The moment you put your faith in who he says he is, and he came to forgive you of your sin so that you could be reconnected to your heavenly Father, your great God, your creator, and begin this amazing journey of faith. Come on. But that's where it starts. But God doesn't only want to start something in you. He wants to finish the work he started. He wants to continue it, as Philippians 1:6 says. He wants to continue it and he wants to finish it. And I think some of us are focused on starting the season, but not finishing the season. Do you know that those guys who are playing in the Super Bowl today, the Kansas City Chiefs, who's that other team? Oh, Philadelphia Eagles. Just teasing. You see, they started the season way back then. But in their hearts, they didn't want to just start the season. They wanted to finish the season by going to the Super Bowl, and they want to finish well. But can you imagine with me for just a moment, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, if they started that season And, you know, they took that first snap and they got the ball in their hands, but they chose to just hold on to that ball and never throw that ball to connect with the receiver and score a touchdown. What would have happened on the journey? Well, first and foremost, they probably would have never made it to the major leagues. But secondly, they would have probably been sitting down on the bench if they would have went back to the coach and said, "Hey, coach, you know, I was afraid I was going to fumble or stumble or throw an interception. So what I did when I took the snap, I never threw the ball. I just held on to the ball." Come on, somebody. "And I run around in the backfield because I was afraid I would lose the ball." And the coach would look at him and say, what are you doing? What are you doing? Throw the ball. Throw the ball and score touchdowns. And you know what? If you throw an interception, you fumble the ball, we'll get back up, we'll do it again. And, you know, we'll eventually get to the end of the thing. Because they know that their job is to basically get the football down the field, come on, and score touchdowns. And I want you to know today, your life in Christ Jesus is about moving the presence of God down the field and really penetrating this earth with the goodness and the greatness of God. I want you to know that's why we're called Valorous Church. We want to be brave with the goodness and the greatness of God. Come on, the goodness of God. And we want to penetrate this earth with an amazing God who has stepped into our life and he's given us new life in Christ Jesus. And we're letting God develop us on the journey, and we're taking what he invested into us and we're giving it back out. We're multiplying it. We're growing it. We're permeating the earth. We're filling the earth with his amazing presence. See, eternal life in Christ Jesus was never intended just to come into you, but it was intended to flow through you. And I think too many people are afraid of the master. And they're not doing what the master has done. They've misinterpreted the master. And they're not doing what the master designed them to do. So let's talk a few minutes about continuing in faith and finishing the life of faith. The first thing I wrote down is we have to know. Everybody say no. We have to know God's heart. We have to understand God's heart. Do you understand God's heart? See, God desires human beings to be image bearers in this earth. Come on. And God's heart is revealed to us in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 3, at the beginning of the Bible as we know it, or God's word. God begins to talk to human beings about relationship and partnership. Relationship and partnership. The Bible says God created human beings in his likeness. He created them both male and female in his likeness. And they were both male and female to basically permeate this earth with God's amazing presence, to rule and reign on this earth and to be, you know, basically who God desired to be in this earth. But the Bible says the wheels came off. Genesis 3, you can go read the whole story. The enemy was shrewd. He came in. He basically told the man and the woman, you know, God's not for you. He's against you. He's holding out on you. Come on. And he's holding out on you, and he doesn't really want you to be all that you can be. And he shrewdly tricks the man and the woman. They fall off the wagon. Sin enters the world, and it begins to take over humanity's soul and humanity's heart. But God is into partnership, my friend. I want you to know the heart of your creator. He created you to be in relationship and partnership with you. And he wants to do amazing things through you. But you have to put your faith in this all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere at one time God. And you have to trust what he's doing in this earth in spite of what's going on around you. And so here in this story is revealed a servant who didn't trust God, who didn't trust the master, who didn't trust the creator. And this is what it says. The servant with the one bag of silver, he came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man. I knew you were a harsh man. Harvesting crops you didn't plant. You didn't plant them and you came to harvest them. You didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant." In other words, you misinterpreted who I am. I want to be in partnership and relationship with you. I didn't entrust something to you to just lord over you and you to give that back to me in the end because you were afraid of me. You see, God wants us to trust him, respect him, be in reverent awe of who he is. And again, so many people are afraid of what God is going to do to them instead of, you know, and letting God work in them and work through them. And this is where we kind of get into this whole theological debate about working for your salvation or working out your salvation. And I want to be crystal clear, no human being works for their salvation. Come on. God did a work on a cross through Christ Jesus so that you can have salvation. He came to give you new life, and salvation comes only through the gift of grace named Jesus. Come on, somebody. And you putting your faith in the work that Jesus did on a cross, his resurrection, his powerful resurrection, and that he's going to return for his people. God did the work. You can't work for it. But once you have believed and put your faith in it, then what God wants to do is he wants to work your faith, come on, so you can begin to be strong in your salvation and be everything that God has created you to be. Come on, work it. Work your faith. He don't only want you to start a life of faith, he wants to continue the good work he started in you until it's completed and finished. And God will continue to work your faith if you would so dare begin to engage with him with your faith. He'll work your faith and he does something amazing. See, it's all about your angle of looking at God. And are you seeing God as a harsh master who is going to come back at the end and punish you for all the things you didn't do, punish you for your sin? I want you to know that God's good grace took care of your sin on a cross. Come on. And he's not coming back the second time to punish you for your sin. He's coming back the second time as a risen king to put all sin and all evil in the abyss and gather his family forever and ever and ever and ever. Jesus is amazing. But the thing is some of us are looking at God as a harsh master, and we're afraid to use the salvation God has given us, this new life in Christ, to permeate his presence in the earth. But see, we think that at the end of our life, God wants us to stand before him and say, "Oh, look, here's what you gave me, and here it is back." It's not why God gives you new life in Christ Jesus. It's not why you started a life of faith so you can get to the end and stand before God and say, look at what I did. No. is to stand before God and say, look at what you did. And as we partner together in this relationship, look how it multiplied. And amazing things happen. See, it's all about your perspective. Do you see God as a harsh master, or do you see him as a loving, relationship, relational building God who has created you to be in partnership with him, to permeate his presence throughout this earth? Or do you see him as one who is just going to punish you at the end of life? God is working this thing out, my friend. And it is amazing. And the day you get in this relationship with him, you'll begin to walk differently. Because in the relationship, the Holy Spirit is the advocate and the counselor. And as you partner with God and you read his word and you're about his work in this earth, the Holy Spirit will continue to remind you every single crisis, every single bump in the road, he'll begin to remind you, don't give up, don't quit, remain faithful. I'm going to continue the work I started in you, and I'll bring it to completion, and I will finish it. The enemy wants you to quit, my friend. He doesn't want you to be about God's work and God's mission and God's purpose. He don't want you to be about what God created you for. He wants you to die in your trespasses of sin. He wants you to die in the state of sin and not come alive in Christ Jesus. But God sent Jesus to show all humanity his amazing love. And God says, would you put your faith that I love you way too much to leave you in that spot? Would you put your faith in who I am? Get on board with me, and I will send the advocate, not to just be with you, the Holy Spirit to live in you, and he will give you gifts, and you can use those gifts as he develops those gifts with my church on the journey, and I will do incredible, incredible things through you. This is why it's so important to belong to what God's doing in this earth. It's called the local church. It's the body of Christ. It's the hands and feet of Jesus. Jesus is the head, we are the church. But understand, you know, you can't develop outside of the body completely. Because here's the deal, God made you a part so that he could develop you, and together we could invest and grow on the journey and see God do the amazing. And again, God's not just working through one person. He's working through humanity. He's working through groups of people. He's working through his church, the ones who were called out of darkness and placed into the wonderful light. And the church isn't working for salvation. The church is those who have already put their belief and faith in what Jesus did on the cross, and we're working out our salvation, developing our faith. See, again, God wants you to come to him by faith, but God wants you to continue in the journey, and he wants to work something in you. And he wants to finish what he placed in you. And you can't let God finish if you quit and you pull off to the side and you don't be on board with what God's doing. Listen, it's our purpose. That's what I wrote down about this passage. If you really want to finish the life of faith, it's knowing God's heart, but it's also knowing our purpose, which is to multiply and invest. Look what it says, Matthew 25, verse 20. The servant to whom God had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, Master, you gave me the 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. The one with the 2 bags, Matthew 25, verse 22. The servant who received the 2 bags of silver, he came forward at the end, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I've earned 2 more. Matthew 25, 25, pay close attention. The other one didn't understand his purpose. Master, I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back. He misinterpreted what life was all about. And my friends, I don't want you to misinterpret what life is all about. Life is about coming to know who God is, living in relationship and partnership with him and permeate his presence throughout the earth. I don't know a more simple way to say it, but so many people are caught up with all this religious jargon. And they're not really understanding that God wants to be in relationship with them. They're trying to do all of these things. They're trying to, you know, they're not operating by faith. They're operating by practice. They're operating by practice what they do, not what God's done and what he is doing. My friends, God is inviting you into a life of faith.
Amen.
Trusting him.
Yes.
Putting hope in him, putting hope in the future he's going to give you. He's inviting you into a faithful journey. He wants to invite you and involve you.
Amen.
Invite you and involve you.
Amen.
Because it's how you grow. You grow in your faith by being involved. You grow by resistance, by pressure. When life puts pressure on you, you can quit or you can grow. Again, and God grows us through these things. He develops, he's reminding us, I'm with you.
Amen.
Always. I stick closer than a brother when it becomes difficult. Put your faith in me. It may not happen as the way you think it's going to happen. But as long as you're partnered with God, he's gonna work it out. Again, everything don't happen the way my mind thinks it's gonna happen. But when I partner with God, he works it out. And again, things still may not happen the way I think it's gonna happen. But I'm gonna choose to be in relationship and partnership with God on the journey, regardless of what does happen. And I'm going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. Somebody else is going to make mistakes. But the question is, will you remain faithful? Will you stay on the journey? Will you really believe that God hasn't given up on you?
Amen.
And God hasn't, you know, quit on you? And God's going to, you know, punish you for what you haven't done or have done? No. Everyone would give an account for the works they've done in this body, whether good or bad. The scripture says, but what God wants to know is, did you trust me? Did you remain faithful with me? And we all fall off the wagon sometimes. We all kind of get squirrely in this life. But the reality of it is this, God can get you back on track if you've gotten squirrely. Come on. And the master wants you to understand your purpose is simply to be involved. He invites you to be involved. And what he wants you to do is multiply the new life he's given you in Christ Jesus. Begin to share it with others. There's no formula. I mean, I know we create, you know, special prayers and, you know, we try to coach people with systems and all that kind of stuff. But understand, your story is your story. Because God is creating a grander story through your story and my story put together as he shares his story in the earth. Come on. And your purpose is to be you, the God who renewed you. Your story isn't somebody else's story. God is a great artist. He's painting a masterpiece. And the way he's painting that masterpiece is he's pulling people from all different backgrounds, all different cultures, all different nations, and he's inviting them in his story. He's growing them in their faith. And as they grow in their faith, he's permeating his presence throughout this earth. And his church is, you know, sometimes it looks like it's going backwards, sometimes it looks like it's going forward, but there's one thing for sure. It is going forward and it is growing and it is doing what God has designed it to do. And it's revealing to the nations that God is who he says he is and that he is a God who came to salvage people from their sin, and he's getting closer and closer to returning. And all we desire to do is invest in people to let them know about this new life in Christ Jesus through different forms and different fashions. Come on. And our purpose is to permeate this good news of who Jesus is in the earth. and simply develop people on the journey. That's what we would call discipleship. Just help develop people in that. Develop them. Help them know who God is and help them know who God says they are. It's that simple. But so many people have complicated it. And it's as simple as come to know who God is. Know who God says you are and do it. But it's not always easy. You've got to keep the right focus and the right vision on a continual basis. Know the heart of God. He is for you. He is not against you. Help fulfill your purpose in this earth. Be a part of what God is doing in and through the local church as he's making his name known to the nations. And lastly, I wrote it down this way. Know the future is brighter and bigger than the present. I know this is hard to believe. But sin has entered this world. And this world is not perfect. I know some of you are living the perfect life in your mind. And you think it would be perfect if you could just get that person. It would be perfect if this never happened to you. It would be perfect if you got this or you got that. Dream about whatever level of perfection your mind can think of. And the Bible says, God is going to do more than you can ever imagine or think of. The future is a lot bigger and a lot brighter than any kind of perfection we could possibly think of in our own mind right now in this earth. Because this earth is broken. It's jacked up. Just to put it in perspective, it's really like a trash dump compared to what will be. And again, I'm not against taking care of the trash dump. Okay? I think we're to steward what we have in our hands. But I do believe, clearly the Bible states that God is going to make a new heavens and a new earth. I do believe that God is going to somehow, some way, merge heaven and earth together. And he's going to dwell with his people and among his people forever and ever and ever. And it's going to be more than we can ever imagine, more than we can ever dream of. And my friends, I want you to understand this today, because the Bible says this in the end, in Matthew 25, verse 21, the master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. My good and faithful daughter, my good and faithful son, my good and faithful child. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I'll give you even more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Let's celebrate together. Let's celebrate together. Matthew 25, verse 23 tells the other servant the same thing. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount of faith. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. I want you to know that the master here is speaking about after he returns. Wow. Jesus is telling a story about a man who went on a long journey. He's going to come back and the people are going to give an account for how they invested the life that the master entrusted to them. And then he gives them more responsibility. See, it's not about just getting more responsibility next week, next month, or when you retire here on this earth physically. It's about, you know, the eternal things that God is going to give you and entrust to you and put you as responsible for in all eternity. It's going to be amazing. And again, it's not about the amount you've got. It's about, did you take an opportunity with the amount God gave you? Did you use your faith, whether it's 1, 2, 5, whatever it is, did you use your faith? Did you invest it in the things of God and do what God designed you to do in this earth? Did you become everything that God had created you to be? And will you hear, well done, Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come on in. Let's celebrate together. Let's celebrate together. And as we celebrate, by the way, here's more responsibility. Here's more that I'm going to entrust you to. All of those who didn't entrust or trust me by faith, you know, I wanted them to, but I took all that away, and I'm giving it to you because you entrusted. You showed to be faithful with the little you had on earth. And now I'm entrusting you with even more. My friends, it's a great vision to understand how big and how fast this eternal life is going to be. Everything's small right now. I invite you to raise your vision. I invite you to raise your sights on an all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere at one time God. He's not finished yet. He came. He forgave sin. But he's going to return. The Bible says he's going to set up an unshakable kingdom. And it's going to last forever. It's going to be amazing. See, that's what your Creator's invited you into. But just for this little while we're here on earth, the question is will you trust God? Will you trust Christ? And will you go on the journey? And will you remain faithful? Will you make your story make a difference in the world, in somebody else's story? So they can become a part of the grander story as God permeates this earth through you or through us. It's an amazing journey. Let me pray for you today. God, I pray for faithful people. God, I thank you for what you're doing in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls all over this earth. Jesus, you told some powerful stories, some powerful parables for us to grab hold of. How to know that you're for us and not against us. How to know that you want to work in us and work through us. And how you want to fulfill your purpose in this earth through your people. God, I thank you for redemption. I thank you for redeeming us, buying us back through what you did on a cross, through the perfect one known as Jesus. And God, if there's a person here today that has never let Jesus enter into their heart by faith, I pray they would understand the love and goodness of what he did on that cross. I pray today that, God, they would believe that he rose from a grave to exhibit his amazing power and begin to pour out his spirit into their heart and into their life. I pray that they would grab hold of that by faith today and begin to walk in the fullness of it. My friend, God's inviting you into his story. And the question is, will you isolate yourself or let the enemy isolate you and just make it about just your story? Or would you get involved with his story and make your story a part of his story and begin to start this amazing journey? My friend, what God's doing in the world, he's doing through the church. He's doing through the power of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit works in his people and works through his people. And God wants to develop you. And so I invite you today to put your faith in a risen Savior and start the new life in Christ. And if that's what you need to do, just say, God, today's the day I want to start. I turn away from my lifestyle of sin and I turn towards you, God, through the risen Savior, Jesus. Today, I pray that you would just forgive me, restore me, and begin to work in me and work through me. And I invite you to go ahead and make this commitment. Say, God, I'm going to choose to follow you all the days of my life. I'm going to make you Lord of my life, leader of my life, captain of my life. And God, I'm going to believe from this point forward you're for me and you're not against me. And God, I'm going to use what you've entrusted to me to make a difference for your kingdom here on earth, as it is in heaven. My friend, if you said that prayer in any form, any fashion today, I want to welcome you to the family. And I want to encourage you, and I want to inspire you, and I want to invite you to get on board with what God's doing. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.